Hi, welcome guys to Bridal Style Vlog Wedding Podcast. If everybody else can just ring the phone really quick, it looks like the studio had a little glitch today. Today I'm so excited about having Anikoi on to hold and to have the luxury bouquet creator. She works with real flowers and fake flowers. But I don't know if we can really say fake flower, Claire, because is it really a fake flower? I mean, Anna's flowers aren't really like the fake flowers that we see in, you know, I don't know. Where do we see them, Claire?
Definitely not. It's not your grandmother's fake flower. Not at all. It's no comparison.
Exactly. It's more, you know what, maybe I should have her explain it more, because there's always this situation where, and I don't know if you get it, but I know I get it here sometimes, especially with different cultures, that we're going to incorporate fake flowers. But honestly, I had a destination bride to New York who used a bouquet, and it was gorgeous. So it wasn't a live flower bouquet, but it was gorgeous. It went with her dress. It was perfect. It actually was perfect, and she was pretty fashionable. So it was tight. I mean, it changed my entire opinion of the, you know, the, oh, no fake flowers. You know, you can't, there's this belief you can't have anything fake on a wedding cake. It's such a
stuff.
But the way this bride incorporated, literally she had fall floor. That's what I like to call it, fall floor. She had fall floor thinner that was shipped like a week in advance because she's destination bride. And she had a fall boutonniere, and she had fall bouquet. I'm going to patch Anna in right now. Anna?
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you on the vlog.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Glad to have you.
Well, thank you. So I heard you guys talking about destination weddings and stuff. I'm so excited to talk about some flower alternatives tonight.
Yes, yes.
Dang.
You know, like a pros and cons, because there's this myth about, you know, fake flowers. I like to say fall flowers, because I don't think, when we think fake flowers, we think, you know, the thing we get from Michael's.
That's
the plastic.
That's exactly it. I guess what I'm, like, doing is completely different. Like, all of the flowers that I create are done by hand. So I'm hand making each petal. All the flowers are sculpted. They're all, like, customized for every person. So each one's got personality, kind of like a normal, like a real flower would. So they're all unique. And that's something a little bit different than what you're going to find at, like, Michael's and things like that, because it's going to have that artful designed hand as opposed to just buying them in a bunch, you know?
Exactly. And yours have a certain luxury spin to it and a softness. How do you achieve that? What can you just help me decide? Because you are still into floral design, correct?
I do. I'm trained as a florist and did wedding designs, events, and things like that for nearly a decade. I do still do events, you know, periodically, but I do focus on my business mostly. But I do, you know, it's just kind of a nice change for me working with flowers that I get to create versus ones that I order in. And then, you know, I'm on pins and needles to see how they're going to look. Like, when I make them myself, I know I can control every aspect of it, which is kind of a nice change.
So let me know, because I really need to know. How did you transition? Because usually there's this disconnect between your business and florists. You can't have a fall floor. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, I mean, I still love flowers. I'm like, it's not for everybody. So I would never say a lot of girls want real flowers, and a lot of girls maybe want an alternative that maybe something a little more of a keepsake that they can have, or maybe something that's less floral, more crystals and things like that. Like, I like having the option of being able to provide those things. I do, you know, coming from the floral industry, like, basically it all started with my own wedding. My husband and I are planning a destination wedding, And as a florist, I was like, how can I not make my own centerpieces? Like, I'm just showing up and they're going to be there. But I really wanted to make something for the wedding that I could carry and then have afterwards, since I'm going to be leaving everything else behind. So I really wanted to make my bouquet, and that's pretty much what I did. I made a crystal bouquet because my dress was really simple. I needed something that was a little bit more of a showpiece. So I made the bouquet, and just we're walking around New Orleans, like the day of the wedding.
I was about to say, yeah, I think I remember your wedding. You got married in New Orleans and did a second line. I love that wedding.
Oh, my gosh. It was the most
I remember seeing your wedding.
Yeah. So great. It was, like, unbelievable, fun change of pace, and, like, it was just a fun weekend for everybody. But, yeah, that's pretty much what started it. I made my bouquet, and then just by people's reactions, I was like, oh, I might have something interesting here, and we came back from the wedding and pretty much jumped right into it. The business was started that next month. I was starting to make samples. So it's been really exciting. It's been 2 years.
And now you're in Macy's, from what I understand. Congratulations.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Thank you. I mean, well, I'm at the flagship in Macy's. They cleared a shelf, and when the girls try on their gowns, like, it's really that fun moment when you see the connect between the girl finding her gown and, like, it registering that, oh, my gosh, this is it. So then, you know, you put the veil on, you hold the bouquet, and it's kind of like a whole picture. Like, it's just such
nice.
A beautiful moment, and
oh,
I'm so excited
perfect.
That my bouquets are being used for that.
Nice. That is so nice.
I love that.
Earlier we spoke about the bouquet with the music notes, and I think that's important for brides to know who want that special touch, that different something, or, you know, because some brides say, I don't like flowers, and I'm like, okay. But, like, this is an option for them because there are lots of people out there who don't want flowers and may not want, you know, the other alternatives out there, like a bridal cuff. So what I looked at when I saw yours with the music notes, I was like, this is great. Like, everybody knows, oh, you can put your grandmother's brooch on the stem. You can wrap it with the same, you know, material from your dress, all those little things. But yours takes it to, like, an insane level almost. It takes it to total personalization, luxury, couture, bouquet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to limit people to think, like, oh, this is the only thing that you can do. Like, I love the sheet music, and I love vintage feel of things. I think there's a timeless, you know, element when you use something old and you're using it again and repurposing it. I think there's something really lovely about that. But I do, like, all sorts of different bouquets that maybe you wouldn't think of every day. Like, I'm working on an entire wedding party now, and the bride is, so she, all of her bridesmaids, she was in every one of their weddings, right? So she's got six. So what we did was we're taking fabric from each of those dresses and going to make flowers to put into the girl's bouquet. As a little thank you and, like, a memento of the day that she walked in their wedding. And I'm like, it's just kind of like, it's out of the box. It's kind of a fun way to, like, tie in your girlfriends in your wedding and have them have something that they can keep forever, too.
I love that. And I like
the options. Unique.
Yeah, you know what? And it's pretty. I mean, I've seen it, and it's pretty. It's pretty. It's not what we bring to... You know, when we hear fake flowers, we kind of snicker. Or we think, but it's nothing like that.
No.
Yeah, not your grandmother's fake flowers. They're not the ones you're going to find, like, you know, dusty on a shelf somewhere. You know, I spend a lot of time getting them the way I want them to be. And it's kind of like every time I put one together, I love it. And I think it comes across. And I think that's something that you don't find with something that you just pick up off a shelf. I think there's just a different, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
You can see the personality there.
Are there different bouquet styles you can do? Or, like, give us some examples.
Sure, yeah. I mean, like real flowers, which obviously there's tons of different styles of bouquets. You can do cascading, pavés, which are more of those rounded flower-on-flower kinds of looks. Gardening, which are very popular, again, with the loose kind of, like, just like you pick them from the field kind of vibe. I mean, there's just, like, many different kinds. The flowers and the bouquets that I make can easily be made into any of those styles. Obviously, there's just changes in the design a little bit. You add in more foliage, and you kind of get creative with some other elements. But you can pretty much mimic the same bouquets that you would with real flowers in the handmade ones that I'm doing.
What about, like, you know, sometimes people want flowers that they can't have that's out of season. What flowers can you mimic? I don't want to say copy, mimic. What,
yeah,
what
no,
flowers
it's
can
like
you mimic
totally
very
not copy.
Well?
There's, yeah,
like
there's
in
no
December.
Way I can copy an actual, like, beautiful flower that Mother Nature did first. but there are
But you know what?
Like,
you actually solved, Anna, you solved the problem of, I don't know what color God's going to decide for it to be this spring.
Exactly. I'm not limited to, like, kind of Mother Nature. I can get the exact color.
Yeah.
Like, the one part
because
I'm working with,
like, something that creeps up.
Yeah, she's like, listen, I need a bouquet that matches these shoes. And when I say these shoes were, like, the hottest pink I've ever seen in my life. But we sat down with, like, all sorts of color swatches, and we found that exact tone. It is shocking pink. And we were able to create all of the bouquets to match the shoes that she got for her bridesmaids. It is awesome.
I love
like,
that.
The exact tone.
I love that. As a wedding planner, we do run into clients who want a shade that may not happen. It's,
oh,
you know, I don't know what God wants to do. I don't know what's going to happen.
Some colors like navy blue is really tricky. Like, if you're looking for a real bouquet, like navy blue is really difficult. Sometimes purples are hard to find depending on the time of year. It's kind of nice to know that there's kind of other options out there maybe that you haven't thought of if you're really set on having those tones in your wedding.
I've even had problems with yellows, especially pinks and stuff like that. But yours, you know, this way you can get exactly what you want and you don't have to ask for something that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Whether
you know,
you bring them from Florida or not.
I can get a deposit price. They're all set. It's perfect. And it'll still look good in 10 years from now, which is even even better.
That's big. Yeah, that's
and that then makes for a happy prize.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
When I was thinking, like, I would say that when brides, and I was thinking about this after we kind of talked briefly, I feel like brides should know that, like, when they want to get this bouquet and it's got this image, and you're going to talk with your florist about these flowers, and as a florist, I can say, like, it's kind of tricky sometimes, because a flower that you've ordered 10 times comes in kind of looking different 10 times. You never really can tell.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got your heart set on this one thing, there's a good possibility that it may not work out the way you want. So I feel like it's important to trust your florist and let them know that, listen, if there's something more beautiful that's going to be as impactful and have that same look, go ahead and use it. Because they're going to make the right decision for your bouquet that's going to give it the right look, but it may be even more beautiful than what you had initially wanted. Sometimes you don't know until that week what beautiful things are in, and if it doesn't go with that picture that you found of interest, like, that's okay. I think it's sometimes nice to let the designer kind of put together your ideas and things and turn it into something beautiful.
That's very
Absolutely.
Great that you said that, Anna, because yes. I find with more, you know, when couples see the florist, they do have this, this imagined picture that fits. They get stuck to a flower or they get stuck to a budget. Or they get stuck to a color. And each one of those things are kind of limiting. I understand you have to stay within your budget, and that's that.
Oh, well, budget's huge, first off. And always disclose
yeah.
it. You're going to have, if your florist is, you know, a really great designer and really thoughtful, they will do their best to give you, you know, the most beautiful product that they can for your budget and be happy to do so. So there's no shame in telling them up front what you're working with, because it makes it so much easier in the end.
But I also do think that you need to, if you can, because a lot of times people don't value certain things like flowers, and then they're photographed a lot. And then they're like, what? And it's like, yeah. So I think that this is something like I had a couple go and get their flowers from Whole Foods, no offense. And when the woman made the boutonnieres, they look like wrist corsages. I was like, what is this? They put this on people.
Yeah, like, that's not going to work.
No. I mean, that's the kind of thing we do. We cut corners, then we get those big, awkward flowers from the 60s and 70s with leaves and everything, and we get
Yeah, I mean, you want it, like I said, I'm like, when you find someone that you want to work with, you really want to trust them that they're going to use their eye to produce the work that you envision. Like,
Sometimes you get the wrong designer, and you're like, that is not even close to what I have.
Exactly. So maybe people should look at their work instead of their budget. Like, look at the, you know, designer's work. Look at what they do. Even if it's your corner flower shop, look at what they've done at weddings.
That's exactly
so important.
It speaks for itself, really. And you know, definitely listen to other brides, but, you know, use your judgment. I mean, that's where it all comes from and who you feel comfortable with.
Exactly, because I think also sometimes we get so held up in budget, we'll spend something one place and we still could have gotten something nicer somewhere else.
Yeah, like
I
always tell my brides, like I can ask a lot, like, you know, what is your price range? And I don't hold back when it comes to pricing. I think it's an important part of your wedding and your budget is very important. I feel like what it then boils down to is if a bride wants one of my bouquets, I want to make it happen. And if it means changing a design or, you know, maybe changing things up a little bit to make it happen, I'm going to do the best I can to come up with a design that works for her and fits within her budget. And it's been a blast so far because I've been able to make all sorts of different looks for all sorts of different brides. And they get to walk down the aisle with something that they can hang on to and look at forever.
That's what I love
great.
About it.
Yes. I have a question. What are the most difficult types of flowers to get in December?
In what month?
And I'm asking for December because it's December, January, February, really. What
December,
are the most
January,
types
February.
Of
okay.
Because
I know
that people always have a problem getting certain floral, or they, you know, they have to pay more, or they're weak looking, they're thin. So,
those ones are definitely tricky. I mean, obviously, there's a reason why winter white weddings work so well because there is an abundance of white flowers. Also, reds are really beautiful, so working in those tones tend to work. Pastels can get a little tricky because it's really just a heavier prime color holiday kind of thing, especially with, you know, the autumn leading into the winter with like Christmas and the holidays. I'm like the tropicals aren't going to be quite as beautiful if you were thinking orchids and stuff like that. But obviously like reds and whites are the way to go.
Okay. Mm. Got it. That's good to know.
It is.
Somebody wants it with, you know, something that you can only get in the spring. What would be an example of that? And could you do it?
Certainly. Like, obviously, peonies, sometimes you can get them still. Sometimes you can fly them in. They're beautiful. That is something that is really tricky to find if the season isn't
peonies
just right.
Exactly.
They've had a great
tricky.
Year this year, and you can still find them blooming, and they've been in abundance because of the cold, like, spring that we had. But they're beautiful this year. But who's to say in December what they're going to look like? But that is a flower that I can make out of satin that I
really?
Can mimic, like, the look
ooh.
Of community and have that lasting appeal.
Oh, I know.
That's
pretty
because
with
that
satin.
Is the most sought-after flower that everyone wants for their wedding. And even if
peonies
I'm
are, like,
December,
the it flower for weddings. They're beautiful, they're soft, they're romantic.
They're
gorgeous. I mean, they're just everything. So, like, but if you want to have that look and you want to have it forever, that's one of the flowers that I can do that kind of has that same look. I can also do ranunculus, which is another popular wedding flower. Again, very seasonal.
Yeah.
Like, they like it cold. You can sometimes get them in December, and they're amazing. But that's another one that I
now, is that expensive? Because that's a very expensive flower, I know, on tape to mimic.
It can be expensive. I mean, sometimes it's been from, like, Japan or something like that. But they're worth it. See, what you would want to do would be plan to have them in your bridal bouquet, but then come up with, like, an alternative flower for your bridesmaid. So yours is the showpiece, but maybe theirs aren't so much. Like, keep it to the important stuff. Like, your bouquet is the statement.
Okay,
that's a
good idea. Right. Yeah, I know. That's a very expensive mimic.
So what do you
suggest if I'm preparing a floral budget really quick, because I know we have to wrap soon. But what do you suggest I spend more of my money on? Like, is there a certain order? Or do I say, okay, centerpieces because everyone's sitting there? Or do I say my bouquet because it's going to be fall day? My bridesmaids, where do I allocate the most of my money?
I would say that everybody's different, and some things are more important to people than others. Like, some girls walk down the aisle with a bouquet, and they're like, I don't even want one. I just kind of had one because it's what I'm supposed to do. Like, some people just don't care about that stuff.
I would say, though, what they've seen the most is going to be your bouquet because of obviously all the photographs, as well as your centerpieces are kind of important because they set the ambiance, and your guests are going to be sitting there the whole night. So it's kind of important that, to tie in, you know, your centerpieces as kind of a statement as well, but there are certainly ways of doing that where it doesn't break your budget and you still come out with these amazing displays. That's just getting creative. So, I mean, just any idea you can probably do on a budget as long as you're really smart about it.
That's excellent. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other tips for our couples when they're out there doing the floral, you know, what I call is another proposal, literally, because it's very, sometimes it's complicated for people for some reason. But is there any other tips you want to give the couples of 2015, 2016, a few tips, like a little something to put in their toolbox for when they're shopping for flowers?
Okay. Well, as far as what I do between the world of florals and the world of my, like, created ones, I would say, like, if you're wanting the look of real flowers, but you also want to have that keepsake kind of element, you can always marry the two. And something I offer my couples is if you want to buy single stems of, say, sheet music roses or maybe your favorite book, or if you want to use love notes or something that was meaningful to you, I can create flowers out of those, and then you can then take them to your florist and they can add them into your bouquet. Then your bouquet is ready to be tossed, you can pull them out, and then all of a sudden you've got a beautiful, you know, memento to put in a vase and just kind of enjoy. So you can marry the two ideas, but that's just, again, getting creative and just finding out what's important to you.
I love it. I love that idea of having my favorite book or my favorite, you know, song in my bouquet or on my fiance's lapel. Or I love that.
It just makes
it
just
more
memorable.
Cool ideas. It's just a matter of like, what is it that you want? You know, there's always fun ways of doing things. So, and I love when brides just kind of want to talk about ideas and just kind of work through it. I think it's kind of like the fun way of hearing what they want because it may be something I hadn't even thought of, and that's really fun for me too.
And you know, what you offer is so amazing because what I notice is that people are doing these things that we call casual weddings, but I'm like, they're not really casual weddings. They're more personalized weddings.
I think that's true. I definitely do. And I've noticed with the couples that I work with, like, they're very involved in all the details, and that's kind of, like, the important aspect. I mean, there may not be these over-the-top grand ballrooms, but maybe the thoughtful details is what I think is probably what I'm finding as the trend now is, you know, the more personal your wedding is, I feel like the people, like, your guests have even more fun because it's, like, they're really getting to know you even more, which is really
beautiful. Exactly. It's, like, the same budget, but it's so personalized down to everything that your guests like you more, and they discover things about you while you're there, so they fall in love with you even more. And even I think the energy in the room changes because it's warmer. You know, they say, I didn't know that was her favorite book. Oh, I didn't know that was her favorite song. Like, we're gone from those, you know, cold catering ballroom days. Everything is more personalized.
Yeah, so I mean, beautiful ballroom weddings are gorgeous too, and the photos are amazing. But I will say, I think there is a shift in like the details. I think, and the couples I see together are working on those very mutually. Whereas I think before, like years ago, it was more of the bride working out the details. But I feel like no, these couples are in it together, and they're coming up with all these great ideas, and I love it.
Yeah, a lot of my FaceTime is with couples together. And they're equally giving input.
And I think that's fantastic because then they're both going to end up with, like, you know, this mutual event that they both wanted as opposed to something just kind of happened around them, you know? I feel like it's going to be even more meaningful for them.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Anna, thank you for joining us so much today. You're going to have to come back next season, promise.
Oh, my gosh, I'm on it. It'll be awesome.
I know. I love the fact that, you know, she discussed marrying the two options of floral guys, real and fake, which is gorgeous. If you didn't hear it, rewind. Perfect for destination weddings. You're not limited by colors, any particular season or a style or, you know, what's available. And, you know, remember, artificial floor isn't necessarily your grandmother's flower. Anything else, Anna, you want to say?
I feel like you covered it. That's pretty much what I was coming to talk about.
Well,
so,
hey, you tell me, you know,
nice.
You're the one who talked to me.
That's it. And
you
I'm always
to
available
me,
to talk. If you have ideas, I'd love to hear them, and I'm always available.
Well, Anna, how do they get in touch with you?
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, you certainly can call me. My phone number is 267-971-3906. Email is also great, and it's holdandhave@yahoo.com, or you can always contact me through my website, which is holdandhave.com.
Excellent. Claire, do you have anything to add about tonight's podcast?
Well, I did have a question that I thought of. I just wanted to ask about the throwaway bouquet.
Yeah,
what are brides asking for? Are they asking for, like, something similar to the bridal bouquet? Are they doing something completely different, and are they personalizing the throwaway bouquet?
The toss bouquets, I kind of always approach it as, like, it's like a dummy bouquet. It's going to have the color of whatever your bouquet is, but it's a much, you know, obviously it's only going to be seen for a short while. It's like a simplified version to keep your cost down, because obviously it's more of a symbol of something as opposed to the actual item. So we want to do something that's not going to cost, break the bank, but it's just more about the act of the tossing.
Okay.
Okay.
I love that.
Good to know. Yeah, right? It's actually excellent. All right, guys, thank you for joining Bridal Style Blog Podcast, and we will see you next week when we talk about soulmates, meaning shoes. Look for our next giveaway. It should be up this weekend. Also, we are going to put Trash in a Dress on our Real Weddings feature page, which is a great wedding in Fire Island, perfect for this time of year. Anna, thank you so much for joining us. Guys,
I couldn't be happier to be here. Thank you again.
You got to come back next season. You got to come back, Claire, as always. And we look forward to seeing you next week. Bye, guys.
Thank you, ladies. Have a great night.
You're welcome. Have a good night.